If you are with us this afternoon and you are not a member of the Lord's Church, we are just so thankful to the God of heaven that you are here. We're thankful to those who invited you and for you taking out time of your day that really belongs to God. We're just stewards of everything that God has given us, and we're just so thankful for your presence. And we, so far, if you have been in sessions, you have been blessed and the time has been well spent. And I hope and my intent is to continue in that process. And so, open up your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, that's where we are going to spend the bulk of our time. It is the launching pad for this study this afternoon, James chapter 4, as we talk about how to draw nearer to God from this day forward. Having studied this and prepared some material, and then you study again and you add more, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute. Can't give them all of that because I only have a certain amount of time. One thing that we may know, and that is that people do not always do God's will. James chapter 4 and verse 17, we neglect. And to those who know to do God's will and do it not, it is sin. Knowledge is essential to being well-pleasing to God. John chapter 8. You know, oftentimes people can quote John 8 verse 32, but they really fail to get the context because it really begins in verse 31. And that is that, you know, people say, oh yeah, you know, Jesus will set me free. John 8 32. But what we call John 8:32 begins with a coordinate conjunction. And everyone knows that if you start a sentence with a coordinating conjunction, well, you got to get the first part of that. So you go to verse 31. If you abide in my word and my word abides in you, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So there is the need to abide in God's word and for his word to abide in us. And if that's the case and we are obedient to it, then we can gain the freedom that he has provided. Obedience is necessary. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, James points out that there is the word of God, and we are to obey that engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Having become a Christian, we have gained something that is important. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 lets us know that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. We become adopted, Ephesians 1, verse 7, to the family of God. One of the important things that we gain in Christ is access. Access. Brother Steve mentioned this in his, well, I better say which Steve. Brother Higginbotham mentioned this in his session. Keep in mind Romans 15, verse 4, whatever things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So the Old Testament, that Genesis through Malachi, gives us some valuable information. That old law was not designed to bring life, Paul says in Galatians chapter 3. It was designed to bring the Jews to Christ. It provided they were a ward. Under the old covenant, only the high priest could go in once a year, and the priests were the ones who would take your offering, and they would offer it on your behalf, the priests. We're not going to talk a whole lot about that, but I want you to keep that in mind. The priests were the ones who went in and delivered your offering. There's an interesting passage in the Old Testament just as we talk about drawing near to God. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 36 says, "Now Saul said, 'Let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them.' And they said, 'Do whatever seems good to you.'" The latter part of that verse, though, is important for us right now. "Then the priest said, 'Let us draw near to God here.'" It was the priest who understood the need to draw near to God. Psalm 73, verse 28, the psalmist records, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works." Access. When I worked for the school system, we rebuilt our entire school district, and one of the things that occurred during that time, we put security on all of the buildings. Every employee, every teacher received what was called a prox card or a proximity card. And so their ID, and it gave everyone certain access. So depending on what your job was, you got access. Depending on what school building you were assigned to, you were given access. So you'd walk up the day and press and you could get in. If you were not assigned to building XYZ but assigned to building ABC and you tried to get into building DKY, you couldn't get in unless you worked in central office like some of us, and we had access to every building. We had the big boy card. And if you were the superintendent, you had the big boy card. And you could just go anywhere in the district. Access. Well, people love to get access. It's like, you know, you walk to the airport and you got an Admiral's card and it gives you access to the Admiral's Club. I don't have an Admiral's Club card. Access. We like access. Well, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't have to go to any priest anymore, because guess what? You are the priest. You now have access to go directly to the God of heaven. You don't have to come to Richard. You don't have to go to Dan. You don't have to go to David. Now, it's great that we'd say, "Brother, will you pray for me?" And we pray for others. But every member of the church has access. You have been given the big boy card. You have access 24/7, 365 days. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait to come into the building to have access to God. I think that's wonderful. We now have access. What will motivate people, Christians specifically, to do what they should do? We should be drawing closer to God every single day of our lives, because we have now been granted access. Peter says that we have the ability to have fellowship with deity. 2 Peter chapter 1. James gives us some insight into this, as we'll start reading from verse 1. To get to the immediate part of the context, verses 7 through 10. But I want to, there's one other passage though that I want you to think about. Steve H. mentioned this in his last hour. And I said, "Oh, is he gonna really jump into my material?" No. Several passages in the book of Hebrews talks about access to God. For instance, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, "For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near, King James, draw nigh unto God. In the ESV, also the American Standard, and the New American Standard versions, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, important passages in those translations, because they point out that it is because of what Jesus has done, he has made it available for us to have access so that we may boldly or with confidence draw nigh or draw near to God. So let's look at James 4 and answer the question, how can we draw nearer to God now that we are Christians, but every day? So James starts off by saying, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? We don't have time to read it all, but he will point out that worldliness keeps us from drawing closer to God. Brethren, if we must learn anything, he's emphasizing the need to draw near to God. Drop to verse 10 real quick. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Verses 1 through 4 of James chapter 4 says, if we identify with the world, it is going to cause us to miss out on the ability to draw close to God. Who do you identify? You've been given access. We've been given access to God by our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been raised from the watery grave of baptism, Paul says, to walk in newness of life. James says the hatred, turmoil of the world keeps us from drawing closer to God. James 4, 1 through 2. The lust of the world, verse 2, causes us to not draw closer to God, but to be pushed away. Materialism, James 4 and verse 2, hinders our ability to draw closer to God. Each time I read James 4, 1 through 4, I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah said to the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 5. Woe to those who draw sin as with a cart rope. You know, the Jews were looking around and they were just pulling sin closer to them. Closer, closer. Woe to them who call good evil, evil good. Isaiah 5, 18 through 20. They should have been doing just the opposite. They should have been going closer to God. What are we doing today? Some do the same thing. The result when that happens, James says, James 4, verse 4, is spiritual adultery. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You cannot be drawing closer to God while hanging on to the world. Stories told of a person they studied with this man, and he's ready to be baptized, and so they lower him down into the baptistry, and as he's going down into the baptistry, raises one hand up. And the brethren said, we haven't been able to immerse you because your hand is up. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, so they tried it again. Lowered him in, hand went up, didn't get covered. He said, what's the problem? Did it three or four times, and he finally said, I'm just not ready to let go of the world. Now, so suffice it to say, they said, until you're ready to let go of the world, you're not going to be able to be joined to the Lord. Brethren, to draw near to God, we've got to let go of the world. James says, how may we draw near to God? It says in humility. We need to understand that we have a need to be closer to Him. Just because one has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you now have access to become closer to God. I love singing that song, Close to Thee. Close to Thee. Oh, do we want to be closer to God? Look at James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The one who surrenders himself and allows himself to be lifted up and exalted by God. In verse 11, he says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Circle the word doer, and sometimes on your own, just read the 108 verses of the book of James and see how many times the Holy Spirit talks about our responsibility to be a doer. We're all familiar with James 1. Let us not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. James says, I need to submit to God. Verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. How do I draw closer every day? Well, am I fighting against God daily? I've been given access to Him. Am I taking advantage of that which He has provided? And we mentioned yesterday the importance of building our faith, and that is still true. That principle is still true. How do I draw nearer to God from this day forward? Well, of course, I got to build my faith. I've got to pay more attention to God's word. I need to heed the word of God. Just as Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. I need to make sure that I am listening to God's word. Being swift to hear. Am I swift to hear God's word? Am I spending the time that I need daily so that I can hear God talking to me? James says in verse 7, resist the devil. It's interesting. Just look at this construction. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It is not written as a suggestion. These are actually obligatory. God tells us that we need to submit to him. We need to resist the devil. You know, it's not this, the devil made me do it business. Just because Flip Wilson popularized that on some of y'all are too young to know what I'm talking about. Dan, they don't know who Flip Wilson is, so I'm going to have to come up with something new with that one. The drawing in verse 8, near to God, the construction in that verse is not a one-time event. You start drawing and you continue to draw, you continue to draw, you continue to draw, you continue to draw. Or put another way, you continue your journey moving closer to God every day. And where am I moving away from? Verses 1 through 4. I'm moving away from the world. There's a stanza, another one of our songs that we sing, and it says, the world behind me and the cross before me. Paul said, I press toward the goal, toward the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. I need to be daily moving closer and closer to God. And not trying to worry about the world. Think about this. You're in your car, and if the person in front of you is just focused on the rear view mirror, I don't know about you, I don't want to be around someone who's constantly, all they're focused on is the rear view mirror. They're not looking where they're going, they're concerned about what's behind them. We can't live the life in the rearview mirror. We died, Romans chapter 6, to the world. We should have. James says, submit to God. Listen to his word. Resist the devil. He goes on, he says, we'll come back to that in a minute. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, of double-mindedness. James 4, verse 8, a double-minded person is a danger. We must be single-minded. We can't serve two masters. We'll love one or hate the other. Remember, if you paid attention yesterday, I said the book of James is an inspired commentary in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus pointed out, he said in Matthew chapter 6, you got to make the decision who you're going to serve. You can't serve both. If we're going to draw near to God and we're doing it daily, we are striving to move closer, closer, closer to God. Nearness to God gives us three important things. It gives us true meaning to life. Solomon, in his soliloquy, 12 chapters, and, you know, vanity, all is vanity, striving after the wind, after the sun. But he concludes in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, here's the true meaning of life. Let us fear God, keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man. Don't wait until all of a sudden you are hit with death. Well, I need to become close to God. We each have these opportunities. We don't know how long we are going to get. You know, I just last week, I don't know, you know, those people who are minding their own business, living in Louisville, plane takes off, engine falls. They were minding their own business. They didn't know that that engine was going to fall off a UPS plane. None of us know. We need to, now is the accepted time to be working closer to the Lord. Paul says, you realize what God has done for you. Jesus sacrificed his life so that I could live. And God has made it possible that I can now approach him. And I don't have to go to somebody else. I can approach him. Because of my relationship with him through Jesus. And I need to rejoice in that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. When we sing these songs and hymns and spiritual songs, those words should resonate in our mind, and we are anticipating an eternity of being with deity. We thank God for each opportunity that we have to serve him here upon the earth, to be a light, his light, to the world. The great hope Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Second, so draw near to God. We have to. But second, understand this. In James 4, 13 through 17, we need to have some of the realizations of life's realities. James says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while or a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know, the uncertainty of life on this earth should cause us to realize that I need to be moving closer to God each and every day. I need to be working in the vineyard, spending more time in prayer. God has made it possible through Jesus that I can go to God in prayer whenever I want. Steve made a great point in looking at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. We should pray without ceasing. That means we constantly have a prayer on our lips. Jesus said men ought always to pray. When I was teaching public school, there were people who say, I'm taking my kids out of public school because they can't pray. I said, my children pray every day. I pray every day. When I walk in the building, I pray. I don't know what that person sitting over there doing right now. If they're praying, that's that's their business. So I argue with people, say, they took prayer out of public school. No, they didn't. I tell my students when I was working in the media center, I said, guess what? So over there in the stacks in a certain row, you're going to find 15 copies of the Bible. So if you want to come in here during your lunch and you want to read the Bible, hey, library's open. Come on in. Because it was there. And by law, we had to put Bibles in the library. Sometimes people over-exaggerate some things. You know, the brevity of life on earth, James tells us in James 4, verse 14, what is our life? It's even as a vapor. Appears for a moment, then vanishes away. Because I understand the brevity of life, I have to be working closer every day. Young people, remember this. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now your creator in the days when you get old. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. Wait till you're 55 and start remembering God. Doesn't say that. Remember your creator in the days of your youth before those evil days come upon you. Oh, it's so wonderful that you brethren have classes for children, that you are encouraging, that they're here. Sometimes, you may not make it to that age of 55. Those of us who have done funerals, we've done too many of individuals who were 25, 16. Let's not wait till then. In James 5, verse 7, how do we draw near every day? What do we need to remember this? James says the Lord is going to come again. I need to draw near to God from this day forward because the Lord is going to return. So right now, the Lord is in heaven. He's our intercessor. He is standing before God. He is our mediator. But there will come a day when the role that Jesus occupies will change. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. We realize that the Lord is going to return someday. We don't know when, but I need to draw closer every day through every avenue that God has given. Well, what has He given us? He's given us the church, this spiritual family to which we can call upon daily for assistance. It's wonderful when brethren will pray for us. It is wonderful when we can go to a brother and we can talk to them. You know, I need to share with you my challenges and my concerns. The church, the spiritual family of God, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We would be remiss if we didn't make this observation. What has God given us to help us draw close to Him? His Word. We need to develop a regular opportunity to spend time with God's Word. Daily Bible reading is wonderful. But then you got to spend time meditating on God's Word. It's one thing to read the Bible, but it's another thing to meditate, as the psalmist says, upon God's Word. Ponder it, let it roll over in your mind. Each of us should develop a part of us, a time when we can truly study, develop our own pattern. You know, sometimes people ask us as preacher, what's a good way to study the Bible? I mean, there are books written on how to study the Bible. You can study the Bible by topics. You can study the Bible by through chronology. You can study the Word of God. Just Old Testament study, New Testament study. There are multiple ways. But don't put it off. When do you start? Now. You devise which approach you want to take right now. Maybe you want to study key words. I love to do word studies. And every time you start studying the Word of God, you are drawing closer to Him. You're looking at His Word. When I received my topic, it was tearing into those words, and they caused me to draw closer to God. Love the book of James, and then it's very specific. And then you should never minimize our ability because we have access to God. To pray, to talk to God. James chapter 1. And then, a good sister reminded me of this the other day. Learn to be patient. Learn to be patient. Don't get ahead of God. Sometimes that's what happens. We get ahead of God. James chapter 5, we got to learn to be patient. Things that we can deal with those. Things that are only in the purview of God, leave it with God. James 5 verse 10, the example of the prophets, the example of Job. Look at James 5 verse 8. How do we draw closer? James puts it this way. He says, establish. You also be patient, establish your hearts. Well, that gets back to that principle we were talking about yesterday. The faith is that foundational component. We must established, we must be steadfast, as Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We must have our hearts set, firmly rooted in the Word of God. There are going to be difficulties in life. There are going to be difficulties in the world. But if we have our hearts established in the King James, or established, just as Jesus said, we've built it on the proper foundation so that when these things come upon us, it doesn't move us away. If you live long enough, you're going to have aches. And if you don't know what an ache is, just keep living. You live long enough, you may have some other parts added to your body that you didn't have before. You know, some of us, we talk, we get together, we talk, well, did you get your other knee done yet? No, I just have the one. I've got metal in the back, metal in the knee. I don't have the lenses that God gave me. I have replacement lenses. But I'm thankful to God for each and every one of those. It allows me to function. Can't always get down, Dan, on the knee. Because get down on the knee, I'm asking for somebody help to get up. But guess what? Where does it say that I have to actually get on my knee to pray? I can pray standing up. I can pray sitting in the pew. Because if I get down there, I need some strong men to get me up. That happened to me once. I got down on my knees. I was doing something, and all I could do was calling out, and my grandsons came in, and I looked, and I said, oh, well, one of you can help. The other was just too small. I said, and they were, Papa, you can't get up. I said, no, Papa can't get up. And then, of course, my wife came in, well, what are you doing down there anyway? You know you can't get up. As we get ready to conclude, James tells us, sing. I don't know about you, brethren, but man, drawing near to God, we should sing. You don't have to wait to have a good song leader. You can sing in the kitchen, sing in the car. Oh, I tell you, my granddaughters, 4 and 3, and they have their favorite songs that they want to sing. And they don't always get the words right, but they have their favorite parts. Man, that means some parents are singing to them. We can draw closer to God. It's amazing, little kids, that some of them know these favorite rap artists, their favorite R&B artists and all that. What does a 5-year-old know about R&B? And yet, we as the adults should be drawing closer to God by teaching them at an early age and singing these wonderful songs. There's an old Southern song, some of you may know it, called God is Still on the Throne. The question we have to ask ourselves individually, is God still on the throne in my life? Or is there someone else sitting on the throne? Is something else sitting on the throne? In the last few seconds, Listen to the stanza of this song. God is still on the throne. Within your bosom you have a phone. Where'er you walk, you're not walking alone, for God is still on the throne. When in distress, just call him. If you're oppressed, just call him. When storms assail you and others have failed you, yes, God is still on the throne. Now that is a song that Christians can actually sing, because you have been given access to God. That access came when you obeyed the gospel of Christ. That access is yours because the blood of Jesus continues to flow on your behalf. 1 John chapter 1, you have access. And so instead of allowing the world to hinder you, instead of letting the world block your ability to draw closer to God, remember what James says in verses 1 through 4. Do not let the world stop you. Keep drawing closer to God. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. He concludes that section by showing the contrast. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Keep drawing closer to God every day by doing what he has told us. Submit to him. Resist the devil, cleanse our hands, purify our hearts, be humble so that God can lift us up. Let us pray.